Okay, well, for those of you who are familiar with white grubs, we saw a little bit there with what Carl presented. I'm gonna present a little more, and according to Dr. Potter in his manuscript, his book, white grubs are considered the most important insect pest of turf. And for those of you who have to contend with white grubs, you would probably agree with that pretty much. And it's really the larval stage that's the damaging life stage that we're most concerned about. And obviously there's exceptions to that when we start talking about Japanese beetle adult feeding activity. But within the broad category of white grubs, there are numerous white grub species that we have to contend with. And fortunately, in Wisconsin, we only have to contend with about three of these. But for those of you out in the east, like I'm looking there at Albrecht, Dr. Koppenhofer, he has many more species to contend with. And you saw kind of the complex of species that are in Kentucky. I know Dave Smitley's in the room. Depending upon what geographic region you're in, you have different species. So you can see there are a multitude of species. And thanks to Dr. Koppenhofer for really putting this in really spectacular slide together. It kind of just shows you the species that exist out there, the ones that are there, the annual grubs, the green June beetle, European chafer, mass chafer, Japanese beetle, Oriental beetle, Asian garden beetle. And then, of course, in Wisconsin, one of our most problematic ones is the multi-year grub, which we call the May-June beetle. Predominantly, we have, it's a Phyllophaga, in the genera Phyllophaga, but predominantly we have Phyllophaga anxia, one generation every 3 years. And then, of course, we have a multiple generation grub, which is a black turf grass, Atenius. But nonetheless, the grubs are the larvae, are the damaging life stage that cause measurable damage to turf grass, and we're always trying to find means by which to manage these particular organisms. And this is the type of damage that they cause. We're all familiar with the root feeding, and you can see the golf course up in the top here. That's dramatically and significant damage that has been sustained there by white grub feeding activity. So we all know that they're very problematic, but oftentimes associated with white grub activity and presence, and not necessarily damage, but just the mere presence of white grubs, we get vertebrates. And vertebrates can be more problematic than the actual white grubs themselves. The types of vertebrates include skunks, raccoons, moles, birds, including grackle, crow, turkey. I'm here to tell you, I grew up on a farm. We raised Hampshire hogs and we had Angus steer. Turkeys are worse than pigs. They are terrible. Of course, I've seen deer go after grubs, believe it or not. And of course, I can't go without saying, being from Wisconsin, badgers. So we have a lot of vertebrates that go after white grubs. Oh, and you want to talk about vertebrate damage. This is the type of damage that we can see with vertebrates. Believe it or not, there were only about 10 or 12 grubs per one square foot in this particular study site. And as you can see, leave my dinner alone, raccoons are very voracious. And we'll go after, as Dave Shetler likes to say, land shrimp. Two approaches to white grub management that you're all pretty familiar with. We have the preventative approach, and really that's the application of an insecticide prior to damage, before egg hatch. Sometimes you can get away with going out slightly after egg hatch, but really we're talking about preventative treatments there. Otherwise, we have corrective applications that can be applied of insecticides to grub-infested turf or even to damaged turf. Usually you're a day late and a dollar short when you get to that point, as you saw previously with the slide I showed you with damage. In terms of vertebrate pest management is concerned, we have several approaches. Obviously the most obvious one is to minimize or reduce the white grub population so we can minimize those vertebrate damage. Also we have trapping and removal of vertebrates, as you see here, like the have a heart trap. Also, I call it selective harvest. Really, that's the slaying of the vertebrates. I have some golf course superintendents that like to go out with night vision goggles at night and take care of these vertebrates. There's also deterrents on the market, such as deer stopper, deer off, mustard seed powder, garlic oil, hot pepper wax, human hair. I've got a superintendent that goes to barbershops and gets human hair, and he swears that it works. Well, that's his prerogative. And then, of course, fecal matter or animal waste. And that's kind of the whole premise of my presentation. Turf grass industry trends have been to quote unquote go green. I'm about sick of hearing go green, but that's what it is. Emphasizing integrated pest management, minimizing chemical inputs, some of the synthetic products, rely more on targeted pest management, reducing carbon footprint, and utilizing natural products, including insecticides, kind of like what Carl's talking about, some biological controls, even herbicides that are natural products, fungicides, and of course fertilizers. Well, Milorganites capture that audience because what milorganite is human sewage sludge, and they process it. It has some nitrogen content. It's an organic fertilizer. However, in some states where they don't allow phosphorus, it can become somewhat of a problem because any organic fertilizer is going to contain some level of phosphorus. But you can see they're really capturing that whole green concept with the eco-friendly type products. And thanks to Dr. Harry Niemczyk, he and I have been talking for a long time, and he kind of gave me the conceptual idea of going out and maybe utilizing these organic fertilizers as a potential deterrent. So what my objective of the project was to evaluate the effectiveness of natural fertilizers as a deterrent to vertebrate pests. And keeping in mind that some vertebrate pests aren't very responsive, such as the turkeys, to some of these organic fertilizers and the like. So this was derived from a theory that the aromatics of the animal waste fertilizer actually deter because of the stench, the aroma. So pick two golf courses with a history of grubs as well as vertebrate damage. And Dave, I showed him this presentation. He said, how do you pronounce that? That's Oconomowoc. A lot of Indian names, Native American names, and Nagawaki. So these two golf courses were selected. I had two treatment application timings. At the Oconomowoc golf course was a spring application timing of various types of natural fertilizers that was targeting overwintering larvae, and then we had a fall application at the Nagawaki. This is what the material and methods look like. We had a May 20th application, once again targeting those third instar Japanese beetle larvae. That's the predominant species. 6x10, and I apologize, these aren't in metric units, but 6x10 plots with randomized complete block design, three replications, and my treatments were milorganite, which was the greens grade material. It was applied through a Gandy 3-foot drop spreader at an application rate of a quarter of a pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet, and then also a rate of 1 pound of nitrogen. In this particular study, I included NatureSafe, but a little side note, and I understand in talking to Dr. Held, Dr. Potter experienced this, I got a gram negative bacterial infection because of this fertilizer, because foolishly I touched it without using latex gloves. So in my next study for the fall treatments, I didn't put it in there. I was a little gun shy. But nonetheless, those are the treatments for the spring treatments. And then for the fall, applied in September to first and second instar Japanese beetle larvae. I increased the plot size slightly and also included another replication thread four. But this time I used 3/10 of a pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet, and then also the 1 pound. The reason I stepped it up a little, I have a golf course superintendent. He implements this strategy, and he uses the 3/10 of a pound because it's a good fertilizer rate to supplement as well as deter the skunks and raccoons from foraging on the grubs. And then, of course, the untreated control. The criteria that I used to evaluate these were at 7, 14, and 21 days after treatment. And I used a performance rating scale that you're very familiar with from 0 to 9. 0 meaning no vertebrate damage, and 9 meaning severe vertebrate damage, kind of like that picture I showed you which says, don't steal my lunch. And this is the spring application. You can see here, there's some trends here. We saw what happened over time is the performance of these natural fertilizers decreased over time. Yes, there was some differences with the NatureSafe and the milorganite high comparatively, and it maintained that consistency throughout those evaluation periods, but over time the performance of those products declined. And you can see the milorganite low compared to the control, there was really no difference there. When we looked at the fall, we did see some differences. Now, what I want to do is tell you, the spring application, I had no control over what the superintendent did. He spun his irrigation heads. When you hydrate these materials, they begin to dissipate the aromatics of the product. Consequently, that's probably why you saw those data earlier. If you look at these data, this particular study, superintendent withheld irrigation, and we didn't have any rainfall during that period of time. So you can see that we had a significant effect here compared to the untreated control versus the milorganite low and the milorganite high. The milorganite high performed better, but still over time we lost the aromatics of that over time. So this is kind of, I apologize, you don't see the picture as well as I do up here on the screen, but you can see in the background tremendous amount of skunk and raccoon damage, but where our plots were, pretty clean. And the superintendent was just astonished by this. So it's real exciting to see these real world data that you can implement. So spring applications of milorganite at that quarter of a pound rate, as well as the 1 pound rate, as well as the Nature Safe, provided marginal relief. And that was really probably due, in my opinion, due to the irrigation and rainfall that occurred. And once again, my theory for that is the aromatics are that likely dissipate over time because of the hydration of those products and the breakdown of them. Otherwise, for the fall applications, the 0.3 pound of nitrogen per thousand, as well as the 1 pound, provided meaningful relief from vertebrate damage, especially when irrigation was withheld, and I know that study did. We saw a slight difference, slightly better performance in the 1 pound of nitrogen per thousand compared to the 0.3 pound. And then overall, we saw the effectiveness of those natural fertilizers decline over time. Consequently, you're probably going to have to make repeated applications to be able to attain sustainability. But that depends on when, what type of grub populations you have and the like. With that, I'd like to acknowledge some folks. Chris Fondre, he's a golf course superintendent at Nagawaki. Dustin Riley's a golf course superintendent at Oconomowoc. And then Aaron Hogden, he's at the University of Wisconsin Golf Course, provided me with natural fertilizers, and he's also the person that implemented this regime based upon my results, and he has very good success empirically. And last but not least, I can't go without thanking Dr. Harry Niemczyk for helping me out with this concept, so I really wanted to put it to test. With that, I got one question. Albrecht. Say that again?
It's based on the photograph we used in the slide is a Shepard photograph. It's from the Niemczyk Shepard book.
Which one?
The one about the sequence on the grubs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was yours.
I only asked a question, I think, about the paper.
Yeah.
But I had a question.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. No, sorry, Eileen.
You showed that the third of the pound rate of the organite worked too. So would people be willing to go out because of the irrigation issues?
Yeah, they would, absolutely, without exceeding a pound rate. So that's why we wanted to look at those vastly contrasting differences. Absolutely, they would. In fact, the superintendent put the third of a pound rate down, went out and reapplied.
Then
absolutely. And you get the nutritional qualities of that.
Okay.